Hallelujah. Turn your Bible with me briefly. I don't know if we can go through all we need to go through today. I was in a meeting today and I was almost preaching the sermon that my sermon this evening. So I had to stop. Say no. In the name of Jesus. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's pick a verse of scripture. We go to the book you remember the rating that we established yesterday? The sanctuary rating. 5 shekels. 10 shekels. 15 shekels. 50 shekels. God commanded a voluntary offering to be brought before His throne. Everyone responded. Everyone yielded. Everyone that was affected in the category responded to God's bidding. But it happened to be that all of the vows that were remitted did not have the same value from God's perspective. You know, hallelujah. All of us have come to surrender to Jesus. Bearing His banner across the nations. But the quality of work that we do does not sustain the same value in the sanctuary. A form of categorization was done in the book of Leviticus. And based on that categorization, we have been trying to understand the scale, because the same scale appears in the New Testament. The same kind of categorization found expression. And that's what we call the sanctuary standard. So, we were able to see that from 5 years and under, the categorization for that was what? 5 shekels. Hallelujah. And in the list, you come to realize that as the age progresses, the value progresses. Then the value reaches a climax from the bracket of 20 to 60 years, which has a value of 50 shekels for redemption. Then a decline comes when the person goes over 50. Over 60, sorry. And we were seeing from scripture, how did God come about this kind of valuation? Then we saw that a man's spiritual worth was with respect to his capacity in warfare. For the book of Exodus reveals to us a people redeemed by an irreversible work of God and marching on into their inheritance. The book of Leviticus reveals to us the basis of their communion with God. The blood and the cross. The blood for sins and the cross for deliverance from self. As a basis of our walk of holiness. Then the book Numbers, the people are arrayed for battle. And that's why towards the end of Leviticus, that chart came out. The chart came out in order to give a definition to our vows. That we vow in the natural. We consecrate in the natural. But in the realms of the spirit, the value of each thing consecrated to Him has a definite tag. And the chart yesterday was able to give us an insight into what kind of value we sustain in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. And we also saw from the New Testament that John picked the same kind of classification. And it was on the basis of that that he classified some into children. He classified some into young men. And he classified others into fathers. I said it yesterday that the tragedy of the Old Testament was that a time comes in warfare where a valiant and fight begins to shrink in his ability to war. That time came for David. Went out, led his troops with power. And he encountered the sword of the new mercenary. And his hand began to faint. His lieutenants had to take the battle over from him. They overturned the fight, but they gave David counsel. You will not go with us again to battle, lest the light of Israel be put out. That's the tragedy of the Old Testament. There's a depreciation that comes into effect on the account of age. But it happens to be that that kind of classification does not survive New Testament perspective. As we established yesterday, the Bible says that though our outward man perish, our inward man is yet renewed day by day. So it therefore means that in the New Testament, retirement is not something that is defined. If it means that we progress in our spiritual vigor day by day with time, then the tragedy of the Old Testament has been undone in the New Testament. Also in the New Testament, we come to realize, because there was a category in the chart in Leviticus for women, and in no case under the categories was the value for a woman the same with that of a man. But when we go to the New Testament, we discover that there was no consideration for the feminine. It means that God no longer values us on the strength of the natural. So there's no need to put a feminine category. He just categorizes it into children, young men, and fathers. That means that there's no consideration for a woman. By reason of the divine investment that tabernacles your spirit, it is from that standpoint that we become effective in the spirit and effective in warfare and effective in divine transaction. And so your physical strength no longer matters. So there's no need for a column for women. We all count on this scale by the same investment we have received of Christ. So no need for women. No special column. Let's give cause. No. It means now that under the New Testament, the momentum, power, and vigor that should come from the life of a woman is to be in the same trend, because they are basking out of the same measure of investment that is in their spirit. So no need for that category. Now that's why we experience a little difference in the book of John, and that list suffers some form of modification when John was speaking, because it has been influenced by New Testament perspective. Are you still here with me? Just trying to recap. Hallelujah. So yesterday we talked about the children. But John said that I've written unto you children because you know that your sins are forgiven. That's 5 seconds. The value of that, according to the valuation of the sanctuary, is equivalent to 5 seconds. And most believers live within the confines of this valuation. And if our worth in the sanctuary is to the degree to which we are fit for battle, and that which can be spelled and tagged on our name is 5 seconds, it means that our presence does not do the devil terrible harm. So you being around and speaking tongues does not really affect the kingdom of darkness. I hope you know that as a pastor, you run a ministry that doesn't affect principalities, human management, and economics. 5 seconds. But when principalities are touched, you will feel the heat of the counterattack. And at that point, if you are not strong, you will shrink under the power, under the weight of the vengeance of darkness. You know what? I was there. You know, our father today that was speaking in the meeting said he was arrested. I was also arrested. In the Kano. When we proclaimed for Jesus, they said that a terrorist was in town. That he normally, when he breathes upon people, they begin to shake. And many Muslims go to consult him in the night. People wear hijab, you know? And they sneak. I didn't know. And I used to pray on one mountain top somewhere there in camp. And then police came and they say your offense is trespassing. You know, the policeman studied in police school for some time. He must be saying something. I tell you, if he sees you now, he knows something to quote. And it happens to be that I went to pray with a few of my friends. When the man got us arrested,
He said, we should sit on the ground. I was troubled on the inside. He said, you can take us to cell, but you yet do not have the power to ask us to sit. He gave me a slap. I knew that if I should return it without the Holy Spirit telling me to, I was on my own. I was on my own. Friends, let me tell you, the devil can come so close as to release something to you. That is when your true valuation will be estimated. And if you have 5 seconds, it will be revealed. All I needed that time was to pick a word from God. So I stilled my spirit. And I refused to feel the pain. And the Lord told me in my spirit, he said, if you sleep in the cell, that man won't wake up. Tell him. I said, police, if we sleep in the cell, you won't wake up tomorrow. It was just, we could evaluate the authenticity of that statement by 24 hours. But the man was not patient enough to prove it. He released us in a hurry. There is a sanctuary standard, a sanctuary value that we all have in the realm of the spirit. I pray tonight that after this meeting you experience an upgrade. Caleb, oh my God, the portrait of the true overcomer. Somebody that fought in war. And by the time he was 80, his strength and vitality was as though he was what? 40. So the age thing did not affect the efficiency of Caleb. We live in a generation that we have so modified and amplified the works of the devil, and we have not seen that it took just a blast of God's nostrils to part the Red Sea. It's on the strength of the deposit that God has put on your inside that every spiritual business you do is sourced. And so, John begins to speak to us in the book of John that we left off yesterday. If you are still there, say amen. John, 1 John. It's a long John. And in the book of 1 John, we see chapter 2, beginning from verse 12. We see a kind of categorization here. For I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Set of people that have an assurance of the forgiveness of sin, an assurance of their salvation, they just know that they are born again. But their Christian life has not gone beyond that point. They operate from that standpoint. They feel that God is an errand boy that needs to go around bringing stuff for them. Their prayer is self-centered, full of self. There's no God in their prayer. They have not come to a point where they fight God's wars, defeat God's enemies, and establish God's kingdom. They have not come to that point. They just, my God, my sins are forgiven. Those are people, as I said yesterday, as I found out the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. Because the blood has a three-dimensional effect anytime it is applied. First of all, it hits the heavens. Secondly, it affects the accuser. And thirdly, it cleanses your conscience. Because the third point of attack when the devil shows up is that he wants to puncture your conscience through his accusation, and you don't have faith to stand and confront him thereafter. So these guys have actually come to that point where they have found out the true up-to-date effect and value of the blood of Jesus, which guarantees the forgiveness of their sin. But many believers have not gone beyond this point. And according to the list we drew out yesterday from the book of Leviticus chapter 27, we were able to discover that the effect or the effectiveness of this category of believers is equivalent to 5 shekels. That's not the overcomer. Read with me. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I said that in New Testament perspective, age is not tantamount to depreciation. Because fathers accumulate the experience they have had as babes, as children, as men of war, and because of that, they have a good knowledge of God, who is the origin of all things. And so you may be anointed, but you still need covering. You see, David was the one that had the anointing to undo Goliath, but he had to receive the authority from Saul. It was required. And one of the pitfalls of the Pentecostal movement is that when somebody begins to speak in tongues and prophesy, he feels that he can take off like a tornado. Hallelujah. And the need for discipleship, of training and patterning, is an act that is almost lost in the body of Christ, because we do human management. Just try to, what are the strategies by which we can get the city to be attentive to this new thing that we are doing? But the apostolic church was a church that Paul's vision was that he wanted to present every believer mature in Christ. So his pattern of ministry, the things that were on his agenda, were tailored by that vision that he had. He knew that every believer had a potential to be more in God if they were discipled to a point where they could hold the sword and contend with the foe. And so Paul doesn't want to see you a babe for long. His ministry was such that it was tailored to expose you to the necessary challenges that will bring the God that is sitting on your inside. Now the Bible speaks about a time where Jesus was in the canoe, but he was sleeping. So it is possible that Jesus is inside of your spirit, but yet you have not yet applied effort to wake him up. So he's there, the lion is sleeping. And so Paul doesn't want to see you in that state. He wants to get you to a point where you can exploit the full potential of the power resident inside. So his vision was that he wanted to present every believer mature in Christ. He knows that what you sustain in the present time outside of maturity is an aberration. God can still get more out of you. And that's why there are different categories in the sanctuary value for every believer that presents himself to God. He said, I write unto you, young men. And what did he say about the young men? I hope you know that there were 2 12s in the journey to the house of Darius. First of all, there was one woman that was suffering from an issue of blood. How many years? 12 years. And the person that Jesus was going to raise from the dead was a lady that was what? 12 years. But you see, Jesus in procession, this woman that had the issue of blood encountered Jesus. And Jesus had to wait and bring her deliverance. She had to deliver the old generation first before he went to deliver the younger generation. Because if the old generation is delivered, they can counsel the young one and bring them into alignment. So Jesus had to what? Wait. To revive a generation that must not pass away with their experience. I write unto you, fathers. What do fathers have? They have known him. Who is the origin of all things? They have seen his dimensions. They have seen him through the years. They have seen him through the generations. They have seen the things that, the heritage that have been passed on to them. And so if they are lost, a particular line of heritage is what? Lost. Everybody has a role in the forthcoming move of God. Do you realize that when the great man Benson went to be with God, a vacuum yet unfilled has been created and the devil began to boast and bask? There are several so-called preachers, men like T.B. Joshua, were able to come into the scene unchallenged because there was no prophetic voice, no apostolic voice. A man that carried a surveillance kind of anointing, and he can come into the territory and offend everything that is not of Jesus.
And Satan dreads a counterattack on such a man. Because the depths from which he has come is far. What a loss we suffered in the nation. When a father bowed his head and the oracles were not transferred. Jesus had to stop in the tracks and revive the woman with the issue of blood before he went to revive the next generation. But it happens to be that we are a generation that did not receive oracles from the ancient. So the patterns were lost. The traditions were lost. The depths were lost. And we have come on scene without adequate depth to contain. Because Satan has no new trick, you know. He comes around in circles. And if you have seen a man that has stayed long enough and watched his activity, he can almost always predict the next step that Satan will take. But when those kind of fellas are not upon the scene, or if the ones that are upon the scene have embraced corruption, there is a dimension of the full knowledge that is missing. And that's why God will have to raise men that are not particularly old, but deep. It's a work of renewal that is doing gradually in the caves. And very soon it will be public notice. Fathers that are not ancients. Have you ever been to the book of Psalms chapter 74? They said, we have missed our signs. Those guys were waiting for a crystallization of something in God. They had a fair idea of the season that it would show up. But it happened to be that they knew that their waiting period was much more than the time required for deliverance. And they cried out with a lamentation and said, we have missed what? Our signs. The next thing that they called for was a prophet. He said, there's no any prophet. What he's talking about, there's a prophetic voice. A voice that sustains the counsel of God. That will rise up in a time of confusion. And proclaim and give a declaration of the counsel of God. And it will come to pass. A voice that even government cannot ignore. Because if he has roared. He said, there is no any prophet. It means that in that day they experience what is called the prophetic silence. No pointer. No direction. And that's how the devil strips a generation of insight. He strips a generation of power. And the young people run and begin to run the rat race. Because there's no any prophet. The last of the people mentioned there was the ancient. They said there's none among us who can tell us how long. That's the ancient. That's the fathers. The man that through experience have seen the rhythm, has seen the trend and the tenor of the move of the spirit, and how that the devil has been walking through time to frustrate God's agenda. So when he sees a rising cloud of God, he knows what to be done, what the devil will preempt, the preemptings of the devil by reason of his experience. He said that I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. There is a dimension of holistic knowledge that comes by experience. Should I say something? Please don't be offended. Please don't be offended. And in case you are, we can reconcile after the meeting. I tell you, it's not. One of the troubles of Benway is a true and accurate prophetic voice. One of the limitations of the Benway church are true fathers that are not fathers for self, but men of the church. Men that are for the generation. Men that are for the household of God. That will speak for God. You know that this man, he's not trying to. No, he's not living for himself. That's how Idahosa was. He gave money, checks, for churches, Anglican churches to be built. He was not a denominational man. He was a man for the body. And in his lifetime, he preached to more whites than any black and preached to more blacks than any white. He's only a man that carries a kingdom burden that can go that far. A minister was in a vision and he saw him in the house lifted up on a throne of gold. And the minister said, one of the fathers now
Say, how come this man that preached this kind of thing can be like this? You know what God told that man? He said, if we give you 6 lifetimes, you can't do what this man did in 1. That's if you are born again from the womb. Eh? When they checked his missionary profile, they saw that the man orbited the world 6 times. With 1 lifetime. So when such a man sits down and say, I hear the voice of a sound of an abundance of rain, believe him. Believe him. And I pray God that there will be rattlings within the foundation of this state that will break beyond the traditional lines, will break beyond the familiar terrain, and a true prophetic move will begin. I tell you the truth, there are several things we celebrate now that will become obsolete in 5 years' time. There's going to be confusion, and throughout that confusion, God will apply this by bringing in prophetic voices. I hope you saw when we started the introductory scripture we read, said that with you I will destroy, I will break in pieces. Did you read those scriptures? Have you seen that one of the items mentioned there was the shepherd and his flock? There are some prophetic voices that God is going to increase the volume of their voices. And because of that, many, many, many shepherds will lose their flock, I tell you. Have you ever read the book of the prophets that says, strike the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered? Let me tell you the truth. It's not the devil that will strike the shepherd. According to that prophecy, it's God that strikes the shepherd. You can check it out. Have you seen it before? It's God. It's not the devil's work. It's God. Some shepherds that are outside of alignment. The purpose of God is not represented and furnished in the house. God is going to rise to his prophetic voices. And the foundation of cities will be uttered. Rattlings will take place. Just like as it was in the valley of dry bones. And through the rattlings, you will think it's a noise of confusion. But it's a noise of ingathering. Bone will come together. Bone to his bone. I tell you, the body of Christ is yet to see a revolution. The powers of witchcraft have held sway in Tibland for so many years. Altars are serviced regularly. Darkness and wickedness going through the land. Death, graves are celebrated. The battle lines have been drawn, but no warriors on the side of God. No warriors to set the pace. Because everyone is satisfied with a 5-second valuation in the sanctuary. I pray that something radical will happen to you in the spirit and cause you to arise like a valiant in the name of Jesus. Let capacity be given to the church. Let the prayers of the church ascend like an incense. An incense that causes spiritual torrents. Let the forces of the spirit be troubled. Let the finger of God fall upon his elect. Darkness will not go unchallenged. I saw in a vision. You may not believe me, but time will tell the better story. And the Lord took me in the spirit. I was praying and I was slain. And my spirit was taken from my body. And the Lord put me upon a pinnacle. And I saw. And he spoke to me and said, I raised the Thief nation as a nation of intercessors. A nation of warriors. That's why they are warriors in the natural. Their destiny is to be warriors in the spirit. That's why we preach this sermon. That mighty warriors, mighty intercessors are going to rise across the land. The power of witchcraft will break like a pack of cars. Before we get to that point, it's not going to be emotional. Our sanctuary rating must be upgraded. Mighty crusades are beheaded in this city. What impact did it have on the church after 3 months? Because the church is not even ready for any harvest. The great man, the great evangelist came to the city, rattled the foundations of the devil. But there was no commensurate increase in the church. Because the church is not ready for to receive anything more. Sorry, in case you are a minister here, if 100 people run into your church, do you have a chat that can accommodate them?
Is there a plan on ground that can absorb them? That's what happened in the days of the apostles. It was 3,000 that entered one day and they absorbed them. We are not ready for anything yet. Our sanctuary rating must be upgraded. Right. And so the harvest comes and it spoils because the sanctuary level is still deplorable. People actually give their life to Christ. But if it's what we emphasize in the church today that they come to hear, some of them will prefer to still fellowship in the beer parlor. The sanctuary rating must be upgraded. A nation of intercessors. For the incense that shall rise from the altars of this land will affect the globe. And mercenaries of a strange kind will arise. Fiery evangelists whose slogan is no retreat, no surrender. They will penetrate the impregnable. They will surmount territories that are known to be indomitable. It's for this that we live. Because it happened to be that according to the time scale of the Spirit, our generation has been picked. But yet, God cries because our sanctuary rating is still low. He said, who shall ascend unto the hill of God? Who will gain momentum in height? Who will stand in his holy place? And when the criteria was listed, we knew that those were not the things that the church of our time emphasizes. And time and space, season after season, generation after generation, has failed to deliver the hopes of the nations. The eyes of God are upon Nigeria. But the church of Nigeria is like a giant that is drunk under the effect of heavy wine. We barely survive. Go to the villages. Death. We were going to bury one of our sisters in the interior village in Chivlan. And it happened to be a Friday. My God, we saw ambulances ferrying coffins of all sizes and all kinds. Ferrying them. The dark cloud has not been lifted yet. But yet our services go on. It means that we might be building with a pattern that is not apostolic. And that is why we must emphasize that there must be an upgrade in the sanctuary standard. If you are here, say amen. Amen. Something needs to happen inside of our spirit. And in case you just gave your life to Christ recently and you are here, some of the things you are saying you may not understand. But I tell you, you can't escape after tonight. If it's in your dreams, Jesus will haunt you. In your visions, Jesus will follow you. We came to a point in God that we could not run back. If we were told that that's how it was, maybe we wouldn't have gone. But there's a point to get to. There are altars you worship at that you cannot abandon anymore. May God cause us to encroach so intimately that even when we decide in our souls to abandon, to abscond, let the ability be taken away from us. Who shall ascend to the hill of God? And who shall stand in his holy place? That was a question that echoed from eternity. The time is come, but I see no man deciding to vow. No man that is vowable is around to take up the challenge to ascend. Who shall ascend? Look upon your Bible.
14. B. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. In the visions of my heart, I saw a generation that overcame the strongholds of witchcraft. I saw in the spirit that three altars in Benue State manipulated the destiny of the. But I was privileged to see the generation that overcame. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. You have overcome the wicked one. And that was where John got the word overcome from. And that was why when he went to the book of Revelation, he saw that the churches have been invaded. And his cry to his church was, he that what? Overcome it. The cry was not to the entire church. You must realize that. The call was a call for overcomers. And overcomers happen to be men that fight God's wars. They make themselves ready because of the body of Christ. They make themselves ready because of the agenda, God, and the eternal purpose that must stand. People that win victories for the holy nation and entrench the kingdom and extend its frontiers. Write to you, because you are strong. Should I tell you a story? The time came in the body of Christ where we end phenomenal growth. But our phenomenal growth was at the risk and at the price of losing our intrinsic character and calling. A time came where we bask over nothing, like somebody celebrating the fact that he is born again. Meanwhile, what you received on the account of redemption, on the account of regeneration, you receive the potential to become one of the legions. One of the people, the tabernacles through which the move of God will hover. And instead of us focusing on how we can mature in him so that his desire can be fulfilled in us, many people have accepted a low gospel. A gospel that rejoices in something that Jesus did not pray for. And a gospel that rejoices in something that Jesus did not die for. Our current template of evaluating Christian advancement and progress is in no wise equivalent to the criteria that was written in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, when deacons were to be selected. And deacons are stewards put over natural business in church. Not spiritual. Just natural business. But there was so much of a demand upon them, and the requirement for each one was not earthly. Then how much more do you expect for the apostles that stood in the ranks, in the vanguard of the move of God in that time? And we came to a point where we began to settle down for us assets instead of seeking to gain access.
And because of this change in vision, our sanctuary valuation has been held up on a very low value. But yet the walls of God are not formed. The enemies of God go unchallenged. And we celebrate something that God is weeping out. And that's why John's cry to the churches in Asia was, "He that overcometh." The churches had experienced an invasion. The churches had run into an onslaught. So much damage was done. And God had to raise a seer, a man that could actually ascertain how much damage was done to each congregation. And his cry to them was, "He that overcometh." The scripture I wanted us to read was in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And we are going to sail gradually. Please don't leave. We have something to do in this meeting. I'll soon be done. I'll soon be done. In Isaiah chapter 53. If you are here, say amen. Hallelujah. I just want to read a scripture to us. And I trust that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. He said, "Them that be of thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places. They shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwelling." Have you read Isaiah chapter 58 before? Do you know? I don't know. I was trying to illustrate that scripture. Don't worry, we'll still read Isaiah chapter 53. Just hold on. Hallelujah. I have a few minutes to finish. A man bought a jeep. And somehow, as he was traveling by, the jeep had an accident and was compressed. So they brought the car to the Panabit. And then the Panabit now requested that the jeep owner should bring a picture that is snapped of the jeep so that they will know how to construct it. Do you understand that? They will have a guide in the reconstruction. And then the owner said, "Well, we don't have any picture." The Panabila said, "Well, there's no need for me to try at all, because there's nothing to guide me." And that scripture says, "There that be of thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places." And I hope you know those guys don't have a picture of what it was like. We have been called as a generation to rebuild the waste places. There are several things that have been squandered. Several things that have been wasted. And after God pouring out resources upon the church time and time, resources in form of vessels of anointings, great teachers, his end still lingers. Then he spoke by word of prophecy to his prophet and said, "That that be of thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places." And rebuilding can become a tedious task if you don't have a blueprint. But he said they'll rebuild without a picture of what it was like. Because God will furnish in their spirit a body. And that body will not find satisfaction until that which is on the heart of God is satisfied. Hence, we can read now Isaiah chapter 53. There's a longing on the heart of David. And I pray a valiant to be found amidst us to translate that longing into reality. In the name of Jesus. I'll soon be done. Won't talk too much anymore. Who has that report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Stop there. John 2:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment.
who shall declare his generation? Jump to 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered among the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Three questions of redemption. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, we see three questions. And those three questions are to a generation like this. And the first was, who has believed our report? The second one was, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the third one was, who shall declare his generation? The three questions of redemption. And those questions were not answered in the book of Isaiah. A generation will answer those questions. And for your information, he gave us an understanding of what will happen. When those questions are fully satisfied. The Bible says in verse 12 that he shall divide a portion with the strong. And he shall divide the spoil with the great. Alright? Are you there? Now, so by the time we go to the book of Revelation, where John was calling for the overcomers, notice that for everyone that overcame, there was a commensurate blessing that he entered into. And that blessing was personal. Because the spoil will only be accrued to the strong, and the portion will only accrue to the great. You must prove your valiance on the field before you can be considered for such spoil. The reason why the standard had to be upgraded was because he himself, in laying the platform for victory, had to pour his soul unto death. He emptied himself to acquire that victory. And so everybody that will stand on the platform of his finished work to execute his intention must of necessity have an O level requirement. O level. Must satisfy the demands of what? Strength. You must satisfy the demands of greatness. So I shall divide a spoil with the great, and divide a portion with the strong. Now, you have seen how far we have gone so far. For this form of sanctuary valuation, toddlers of 5 seconds have no memory. And so God will not move with everybody in this day. No! He will move with who? The strong. He leave the other babes to dance a willow, while he puts his fingerprint upon them that are ready to go all the way with him to bring about his intention. He will point to them his strength. The church gained phenomenal growth, but at the risk and at the loss of our intrinsic character and vision. Several camps today, down south, when you get to some camps, you see millions of people. Meanwhile, the Lord said, Jonathan said that the Lord had no restraint, has no restraint, either to win with many or to conquer with few. What God needs is just the strong. People that can conduct and translate his power. People that can bring about the effect for which they are empowered. The strong. Charisma said that the Nigerian church was 1 million miles wide, but 1 inch deep. We do not have depth. Most, the value of the entire church in Nigeria is still basking within 5 seconds. And so he said that I'm going to divide a spoil
with the great and the portion with what? With the strong. So by the time we go to the book of Revelation chapter 2, I'll just discuss one church. Just one. You go study the rest. And John was crying out, he had overcome. Revelation 2, and I'll be true from this pulpit. I'll be true from this pulpit. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have these against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from whence you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick from its place unless you repent. But this I have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, times which thing I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, they're strong. You need to qualify to enter into this dimension. I'm not going to roll with everybody just because you have the Holy Spirit tabernacle in your spirit. No. I have a sanctuary rating that you must have to approximate to before you share in this dimension. The spoil is for the strong and the portion is for the great. You not just show up and say, thank God and the righteousness of God in Christ. No, man. Those are basic requirements upon which we stand to move back the lines of his foe. God wants to do something. He has given the call, but not many have responded. He that overcometh. At this point, it becomes a choice. At this point, he doesn't force anybody. And if in your soul you have heard that call, it is to you that the call has been directed. He that overcometh. Let me close my Bible and try to explain what we have just read. Because we must understand the definition that Jesus gave of himself to that church. He said that I'm the one that holds the seven stars and I walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And if you have gone to Revelation chapter 1 beginning from verse 20, where the interpretation of the seven stars was given and the interpretation of the seven golden candlesticks was given, you will see that the seven stars refer to the messengers of the churches. And these messengers there is angelos in Greek language, which talks about the local pastors, the pastors of the local churches. It is to the letters were addressed so that it will pass through their office to the members of the body. So the stars there refer to the pastors. He said, I'm the one that uphold the messengers. And I'm the one that walks in the midst of the churches. Because the seven golden candlesticks refer to the churches. I walk in the midst of the churches and I uphold the messengers. Can you see that? Alright? Now the problem with the official church is that the church had lost her first love. And by the time you go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So what was happening that time was that the devil had raised a wind of iniquity. A wind of lawlessness has hit the land. And because of that, there's mass compromise. There's mass compromise. The standards of God are no longer upheld. We have simplified things that need to be mystified and mystified things that need to be simplified. Yes, it is true that the Holy Spirit is inside of you so that you can know the things that he has freely given to you of God, I tell you. But the same Bible says, that the things that are revealed belong to you, and the things that are not revealed belong to God. It therefore means that God sustains a mystery in every generation. So when you come to the point where you no longer dread God because of his mysterious side, you have come to a point where you have been manipulated by the spirit of that age. Hallelujah. God still remains mysterious. But we have come to a point where we feel we know God so much that we have the fear of God doesn't exist anymore. Because Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against God, not against Potiphar? He was living by another law that was greater than the law of Egypt. That was the law that was regulating and manipulating him. Hallelujah. So lawlessness began to sell in the church. And the values and the standards of God began to diminish and to drop. And everybody takes off like a tornado, doing that which is right in his own eye. But God was looking down from his vista to heaven to see how many people will still subscribe to his own values, believing that he's not a man that can lie, and that he's not a son of man that can repent. His words cannot be retrieved. His standards are eternal. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So those guys were contending with the rise of iniquity. And God was looking down from his vista and saying, he not overcome it. He that still stands erect when everybody's sheave bends over. The difference between wheat and tare is simple. You cannot detect what is wheat and what is tare when the growth process is still on. Because wheat and tare look alike so perfectly. But it's only in the harvest time that you can separate them. Because wheat is standing erect and tear is bending over. That was the meaning of the prophecy that was given to Joseph. He said, if you can stand when others fall, then you'll be my governor. If you can stand when everyone is bowing down, you'll be my chief or my representative. When you can stand when everybody is on the ground, when you refuse to compromise, when iniquity and lawlessness has taken over the church, when people no longer believe that God we uphold his standards irrespective of any generation that comes up. He said, as for the person, only the strong will find expression. Only the strong will partake here. So people that can stand against the tide of the world system that have been brought into view in that day and still uphold the values of God. You know why he said this? Because he had introduced himself before as the one that upholds the pastors. He upholds his messengers. That means his power, my God, his power at work in our spirit does not deplete just because the tide of the devil is increased. He's the one upholding us. So he doesn't understand how that he's the one upholding you, but yet you could not survive the strain. Because one thing, you know, the Bible talks about the seven stars. And if you go on to chapter 3, it talks about the seven spirits of God. And the seven spirits of God talks about the intensity, the sevenfold intensity of God. Not seven separate spirits, but one spirit that can be intensified. It means he enlarges. His capacity enlarges with respect to your persecution. His capacity enlarges with respect to the circumstance. His capacity enlarges with respect to the situation. When that situation begins to become tense, his capacity begins to enlarge. He enlarges beyond measure. There is no situation that should trap you in. He says that I'm the one that upholds you. You see, the seven locks on the head of Samson represent the seven spirits of God. Which means, you know, Samson was naturally weak. I hope you know. He had weakness. And then God revealed himself to Samson as the one that will keep burning until he comes out of every of his weakness. It means God will keep enlarging with the booming tide. He keeps enlarging until all of your weakness is undone, because I'm the one that upholds the seven stars. So God cannot understand a generation that he's upholding, but yet they cannot amount, they can stand to counteract the rising tide of the devil's current strategy. I rest my case tonight on this point.
We have 7 churches to go, but you are going to read each church and read what they came against. Hallelujah. The 7 churches came against persecution. And several people on the account of persecution have denied him. But the Bible says, for the guys that are persecuted, he said that if you overcome, I'll give you a crown of life. You see, eternal life, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of your spirit, I hope you know that the Holy Spirit that tabernacles you is the virtue of Jesus' death. Do you know that? Somebody, he had to die before that possibility came. It's the virtue of his death. And anybody that actually has the Holy Spirit inside of him had died. That's the implication. Only dead men can carry that deposit. It means that if I died before, death can no longer threaten me successfully. There's no amount of persecution that can threaten me successfully. Because if you say you want to kill me, I will tell you I have died. If you say you want to make me live, eh? You can't kill me because I died. You can't give me life because I'm not alive. Can you catch that man? You want to kill him? He said, I've died before. The suicide bombers were able to make us understand that a man can go beyond the fear of death. Yes. A carnal man that's not born again. No hope. But in his own zeal, he was able to go beyond the fear of death. But we live behind it because we don't understand what eternal life is. Eternal life is a life that is life indeed in the midst of death. And so when the devil brings his worst, you are still alive. He that overcometh. Not everybody will get to that point. When the devil decided to bring vengeance upon the church, what did he do the first? The first time we saw the finger of the devil massively revealed in the church was in the book of Acts of the Apostles, I think chapter 6, where there was a craving. People began to mutter and to murmur and to grumble that this thing you are sharing is not getting to us. So God said, all right. What is moving the church now is that they are sharing things. I will allow you to be blown to a land where you have nothing to be shared. And in chapter 8, persecution came. And the people began to go. And as they were going under the strain of persecution, they were preaching the gospel. Never knew that that power was inside of them. Stephen was using that anointing upon him. Philip, that anointing upon him was used to serve tables. And people were still complaining that they didn't know it. God said, oh, I have a better use for this grace. And he allowed the wind to blow. And as the guys began to go out, they began to give life. My God. That was how Philip, he never dreamt of going to Samaria. If he was thinking of how you get a visa there, it was a long statement, but something happened. And he found himself in Samaria, who were not told that he had a phone or a microphone. But when he preached the gospel, the Bible said the entire city was rattled to its foundation. It's not by your power that revival will come. It's God's idea. And if he finds overcomers, oh my God, the heavens will be rent. And the glory of God will come down. Hallelujah. Oh my. So the second move of the devil was persecution. And in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, the devil wanted to use his great power. His true power. Even though he doesn't have it anymore. Because according to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, he was stripped of that power. But it's only a shadow of death that he carries now. He was stripped of the power of death. So it's a shadow of death that he uses to threaten people. Because I cannot die. Because I died sometime. And the power of Christ, which is a virtue from the dead, tabernacles me. So even if death looks me eyeball to eyeball, I have no covenant with it. If I pass on from this realm, I'm still on the other realm. And I'll ask death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? So the overcomers knew that. And even in the face of death, they were still true to their God. He said, I will share a portion with the great. And I will divide the spoil with the strong. That something radical might be kindled on your inside tonight.
It was in Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. But the Bible says that Herod wanted to vex certain of the church. And he would use the shadow. He killed James. And when he saw that he pleased them, he took Peter also. The church was sleeping. And then when the head of James is dead. I hope you know James. Do you know James? You don't know James? Let me tell you of James. James and his brother John brought their mother to Jesus. You see, their mother is so persuasive. Came and requested of something. I don't know how she got information that that water existed. He said, grant. And you know, those kind of things are in whispers. Grant. That one of my sons will sit by your right hand. And the other by your left. Just grant. And Jesus said, it was as if somebody had stolen some information from his diary. So you know as much as this, that there's a city and here. Alright. Ask them. And he also spoke in a whisper too. Can you be baptized with my baptism? Can you drink with, from my cup? She rashly answered and put them into trouble. He said, alright. Now I include you in my baptism and in my cup. But the capacity and authority to determine who will sit here or here is not with me. But I can file your application to the right quarters. And you know that baptism was... The word baptism in Greek is baptismo, submerge. So the baptism there is the baptism of death and the cup is the cup of suffering. Notice who died first. James. To James was given the baptism of death. And then notice who did not die and but suffered. John on the Isle of Patmos. When they put him in the boiling oil, death could not locate him. When they put him a mass stone around his neck and submerge him in the river, he was there like a water creature for 3 days. Death could not take him. And then he said that I was in the spirit on the last day on the Isle of Patmos. And my eyes, overcomers cannot die. Overcomers cannot die. When a man stands for God, God will stand for him. I will divide the portion with the great, and as I share the spoil with the strong. Let's rise and pray together. Give me some sound on that keyboard. And be in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Somebody rejoice tonight. Rejoice. 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 And Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when it comes to wait. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Oh, Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to me. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to me. Emmanuel, all the world is calling in your name, Emmanuel.